Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father. Which one works? And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus begins his ministry. That's the subtitle in Matthew chapter 4. Also, Jesus calls the first disciples, and Jesus ministers to the great crowds. At several subtitles there in Matthew chapter 4. I guess we could consider it all under Jesus begins his ministry, calling the disciples and proclaiming the gospel. That's Jesus' ministry. It gives us first an example of basically how to do mission work. There are lots of different ways that people do mission work. I remember times, there were specific times of the year that one church in town in Fairbanks, they would occupy every street corner. And they would have big signs, and they would have several people, and they would hold their Bibles. Let me mark my spot here before I show you. They would hold their Bibles like this. And they would shout to everybody and anybody who passed by on the street some random verse about believing in God or burning in hell or something like that. So their Bible was their megaphone. And people would honk at them as they drove by. I don't think they were honking in support to encourage. That was one way of doing mission work. Perhaps not the most effective, but for some, maybe it's what they needed. There's a song that I often quote, and that's "All God's Critters Got a Place in the Choir." Some use the Bible as a megaphone. That's their place. Some mission work is done overseas, and I have not had the opportunity to go and do mission work overseas, but many do. And a lot of mission work overseas is done through service, building things for communities, drilling wells, that kind of thing that help and is of service to the neighbor. And those are great mission projects. Some, again, they'll go and do something like that, but in order for the people to receive what it is they have for them, they have to first listen to a gospel message. I'm not so sure about that. Whether or not you want to make it a requirement in order to get something. I don't know how effective that is, but again, all God's creators got a place in the choir. Some mission work is done through prayer. A lot of times mission work is done through prayer. We pray for certain aspects of our community. We do that just about every week. We pray for those who are in need of hearing the gospel in some way, shape, or form, and a lot can be accomplished through prayer. There are lots of ways to do mission work. Some are grand and astounding and amazing things that people do, and other things seem to be understated, quiet. But all of it is effective in some way, and it's effective not because of what we do, but because of what God does through it, around it. Sometimes even despite our best efforts, God does amazing things. In Matthew chapter 4, we see the beginnings of Jesus' ministry, and we get a sense of what Jesus is all about. This is the season of Epiphany still, and so we're having Jesus revealed to us as who he is. And so in this section of Matthew, it's revealed to us not his identity as far as being the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the one who would take away the sin of the world, the Christ. That was last week, remember, in John's disciples and how that worked. This is revealing in how Jesus goes about his mission and his ministry. We know as Christians the ultimate goal, the ultimate end of Jesus' ministry, or perhaps another beginning, is when he gets to Jerusalem and the cross. Crucifixion, for us who know how the book ends, is always sort of held out there as the ultimate goal. That's where we know Jesus is going. He's going to the cross. From Galilee to Capernaum to Bethany to all of the different places, we know Jesus is heading towards the cross. But there's a lot that happens before he gets there. There's a lot of mission and ministry that Jesus does before he gets to the cross. And all of it is important. It's all part of who he is as Jesus, as Emmanuel, as God with us. And so today, in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus begins his ministry first, as Matthew says, with a fulfillment of the prophecy. A fulfillment of the prophecy that Daniel read for us out of Isaiah. That Jesus would begin his ministry not in Nazareth, but in Capernaum, in Galilee. That's where he would begin his ministry. That's where it would start. So it says that when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went to live in Capernaum by the sea, so that it would fulfill the prophecy that Isaiah spoke. So there was a reason, not just because it was more convenient, not just because that's where the boats were, not just because it seemed like a nice place to live. He's moving up in the world. But because that's where the prophecy said he would be from. So he went there to begin his ministry. And he begins his ministry with the word. He begins by preaching, by proclamation. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Those were words that John the Baptist had used. Jesus uses them again. But when Jesus uses them, he could have a big neon sign pointing to himself. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The reigning and ruling of Jesus is real. It's happening. It's now. It's not that it's coming. It's not that it's far off. It's not that it's something that was proclaimed long ago. It's now. Jesus begins his ministry, we say, but in essence, he begins his reign and rule as the King of Kings, as the Prince of Peace. He's saying, it starts now. That's how he begins. And it's a good way to begin. You know, ready, set, go. That's what Jesus is doing. He's ready to go with his ministry. He's ready to go with his mission. And so the first thing he does, which we can take some real good notes about how to do ministry and mission. And not to say that that's the only way we read this, but it's one way to read this. And the first thing he does is what? He calls disciples. He gathers people to help him, to be part of what he's going to do. He could do it all himself. I mean, he's Jesus. He's God in flesh, right? He could do it all himself. He doesn't need anyone. But he gathers people to be with him, to be part of the ministry that he's going to do, to help him carry out the mission. He gathers people with him. And he gathers not the cream of the crop, not the ones who tested highest in the synagogue exams. He gathers workers, hard workers, people who aren't afraid to put their nose to the grindstone and work. He calls fishermen. Now, before we kind of equate modern-day fishing with their fishing, He didn't call people to go sit in a boat with a rod and reel and enjoy the day with a cold beverage and catch a salmon or two. No, these were fishermen. This is how they made their living. It was hard work. And so he calls four fishermen, two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew, James and John, the first four. And they follow him. He says, follow me, and I'm going to change the way that you view the world. Though he doesn't say that. Because how many of us would follow somebody who said, follow me, and I'm going to change the way you view the world? You're going to say, what are you selling? I'm not getting into that pyramid scheme. I've seen those before. They don't work. No, he says, I'll make you become fishers of men. Curious, interested, they follow Jesus. Led by the Holy Spirit, they drop what they're doing and follow him, finding out what is he all about? What is he looking for? What is he trying to do? They want to know. Besides, as fishermen in the family business, they may not have been viewed as, again, acceptable by most rabbis. Who wants a bunch of smelly fishermen sitting in synagogue next to you? Not them. But this rabbi, there's something different about him. Remember, last week we read that Andrew and some of the disciples of John called him rabbi. They recognized him as that, and so they were curious. What is he all about? So they follow him. They don't know what to expect. They certainly get more than what they bargained for, I'm sure. But that's the way it is with mission and ministry, isn't it? We always get more than we bargain for. We don't always know how it's going to go when we set out doing something, when we set out trying something. Grace is going to, we're celebrating 100 years. That's a lot of mission and ministry in this place. 60 years in this location alone. How much mission and ministry have we been part of? So much. It's hard to even kind of account for all of it. And some of it has been grand. Some of it has made huge impacts on things around us, and other things, not as much. Quieter. But that's the way it is with mission and ministry. We don't always know. And in fact, I think, this is just me talking. It's not interpreting scripture, but this is me talking. I think God doesn't want us to know how big or grand it's going to be. Because if he tells us at the beginning, this is going to be the biggest thing you've ever done, what's going to be the problem? This is the biggest thing I've ever done. Oh, wait, no. Or if he says, this isn't really going to make much of an impact, but I want you to do it anyway, we're going to be like, well, it's not going to do anything. I don't really want to be part of it. So he doesn't tell us those things. Jesus doesn't tell the disciples all that they're in for. He just brings them along. And that's what he does with us. He brings us along. Some of us smelly fishermen. Others from other walks of life, he brings us along and says, we're going to do this, and I'm going to be with you. You notice throughout the Gospels that Jesus never leaves his disciples high and dry. He's always with them. When he sends them out, they come back. When he goes to pray, he comes back to join them. He never leaves them high and dry. He's always with them. Just as he is with us. He's always with us. So he calls the disciples and they go about the work. They accompany Jesus wherever he goes. And it says in the next section that he went throughout all Galilee. That whole area around the sea, he ventured. He went into all of the different villages and cities. Some that were great, others that didn't want him. Some that were Gentile cities, others that were Jewish cities. And he would go everywhere and anywhere, and he did amazing things. First, he proclaims the gospel. Once again, wherever he goes, he says, the kingdom of heaven is near because it's me. The kingdom of heaven is near you because I'm near you. So even for us today, the kingdom of heaven is near because he is here. It's not something far off that we have to attain to or figure out or imagine. It's here. The kingdom of heaven is Jesus reigning and ruling in our hearts, in our lives. So he goes throughout all of Galilee. He's preaching, he's teaching, and he's healing. He's not just about speaking. He's not just about words. It's not just a do as I say, not as I do kind of thing. That was the Pharisees. They were all about do as I say, not as I do. Listen to what I say, but don't pay attention to how I live. We know what that's called, right? There's a word for it, begins with H. Hypocrisy. Something that the church is very often accused of, and often rightly so, unfortunately. Anytime you gather a bunch of sinners together, you're going to get it, right? We know that. We are that. But God still works. Despite the hypocrisy, he still works. And so Jesus goes throughout Galilee. He's healing. It says, oh my goodness. His fame spread throughout all Syria because they brought him the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics, every affliction, every disease, whatever was the problem, Jesus was the solution. Because the kingdom of heaven is near. So now when we go about mission and ministry, so much of what we do is about healing. Medical missions, eyeglasses, dental missions, all sorts of things that missionaries do, Doctors Without Borders, and all of these different places where mission and ministry is done, so much of it is centered on physical healing. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that's because that's what Jesus did. And so we as followers of Christ go about doing that. Now, some things are so far beyond our own abilities. We can't heal every single disease. We can't heal every single affliction. I mean, Jesus, just in our midst, we can't heal everything. But that doesn't mean Jesus isn't at work. There are times when Jesus goes into villages and people bring their sick to him, but he's not able to heal every single person in the village. We can't always do that, and so sometimes we get frustrated and we say, well, if I can't do everything, then I'm not going to do anything. Might as well just not even try. Well, that's Satan telling you that. Don't even try. You can't do it. Forget it. It's too much, too hard, too busy, too far, too expensive. You can't do that. But Jesus says, you can't, but I can. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus is here. Jesus is here with us today. Now, he may not heal every sore muscle, every aching hip, every eye that has trouble seeing, but he heals the hearts and the souls of those who gather. He's here to forgive, to give you grace, to love you, to listen, to be with you, to walk with you every step of every way, wherever that may lead. Now, I'd like to say that all of us are missionaries, and in some sense we are. We all have something to do. Something that God has given us. And it may be just to our families, to our spouses, to our neighbors. Some of us get to go to Papua New Guinea and share the word. Some might have to go all the way to Corvallis to share the gospel. But it doesn't matter. Jesus is with us. Wherever we are sharing that gospel, he's there. And he says, yeah, I know you may not have eloquent words, you may not have amazing things to say or do, but don't worry. The kingdom of heaven is near, here today. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.